to do that. It is 11:02 a.m., Tuesday, October 22nd. This is the in-person interview of Somerset Academy, Arizona, Inc., Skyway Middle School. The board and technical review panel appreciate that you have come today. We understand that the application process requires time, effort, and intensive commitment, and we wish to thank you for your interest in providing quality educational choices to the children of Arizona. The purpose of this interview is for the applicant to demonstrate how well it understands and has thought through the plan presented in the written application. The interview panel will use the responses to the questions to evaluate the capacity of the applicant to successfully implement the plan as outlined in the application. We will start with the reintroduction of the interview panel.
Oh, my name is
Tracy. That's you.
Yeah. Again, my name is Tracy Kelly. I'm based in Connecticut. I'm a private consultant specializing in organizational compliance matters for the most part.
And I'm Susan Chan, Executive Director of Kingman Academy of Learning, K-12 Charter School, and I have expertise in all three of the areas.
And Peter Boyle, Founder and Principal of Western School of Science and Technology. We're a tuition-free public charter in West Phoenix, serving grades 7 through 12, and I also have expertise in all three areas of the application package.
And this is Jesse Berg, Accountability Specialist, who is here for training purposes. The interview will last 90 minutes. The procedures and ground rules for the interview process are as follows. You will be given 5 minutes for introductions and to make your opening statement. I will cue you when you have 1 minute remaining and when the 5 minutes is complete. Expect to spend 2 to 3 minutes on the initial response to each question, allowing time for any follow-up questions made by the interview panel. Feel free to ask for clarification. In order to give you the opportunity to respond to all of our questions, during the response to an individual question, the TRP team lead may ask you to move on and give you the opportunity to address any other responses in your closing statement. When 10 minutes remain in the interview period, you will be asked to make a closing statement of no more than 5 minutes. We will conclude the interview with a description of the next steps. Do you have any questions about the procedure or ground rules for this interview?
No.
Since we've done this once before. I will now turn things over to the TRP team lead, who is Susan, who will be running the interview from here.
So please reintroduce yourself to us, what role each member plays in the application process, as well as what role each member tends to have if the application is approved, intends to have if the app is approved.
I'm Anne Elias, and I am a Somerset board member of the corporate board. My area of expertise on the board is in the area of education in general, K-12.
I am Lourdes Isla, I'm the board chair. I also serve as an education, or the education part of it. I am a principal also of a K-8, or was a principal of a K-8, so I have a little bit of knowledge on the education piece as well, K-12.
And I'm Frankie Mestre. I work with Academica, the educational service provider for the school in Somerset.
Thank you. You now have 5 minutes for your opening statement.
Okay, so I'll make our opening statement. Somerset Academy Skyway Middle School is a college preparatory school with an emphasis on cultivating effective leaders, demonstrating good character, and instilling in each child a desire to render service. Students will be prepared in an academically challenging and personally meaningful learning environment with an emphasis on developing leadership skills, increasing literacy, fostering good citizenship and character, and seeking opportunities to serve their classmates and their school community. A collaborative effort including students, teachers, parents, and staff will be devoted to establishing, achieving, and celebrating individual goals for each child at Somerset Academy Skyway Middle School.
Okay. Well, in addition to our things that we're
doing. All right. Thank you. So we will start. Peter's
going to
start this round
off. So in the last application cycle, Somerset Academy Arizona Inc. applied for and was approved to open a new charter in the current fiscal year. Given that the school opened this year with approximately 100 students and with a target enrollment goal of approximately, to your words from earlier, 250 to 300 students, what specific lessons have you learned about marketing in the Arizona charter landscape, and what changes will you make to marketing this potential school?
So our setup for Skyway was a little bit different, and it just didn't pan out that way. We wanted to start off with a K-3 and eventually open up to a K-8 in like year 4. That's not the case right now. We have opened up the K-5. We don't want to displace those fifth grade students. So our marketing now is a little bit different than what we've targeted previously. Now we're looking into opening the 6-8 a lot earlier than anticipated. And so our marketing strategy is just a little bit different. Not to say that we are doing still community events. We're putting our name out there, sending out mailers, putting our waiting list together, and just having that communication with the community.
I think being new to the area, we focused a lot on our community partnerships, especially with the church that we're, the area that we're co-located in, and especially them being a pillar of their community. We relied on them a lot for our year one recruitment, and now that we're more comfortable with the area, we obviously have our school leader that's from the area, sort of expanding that reach and expanding more of the community events as well.
So given that the enrollment target, I believe, for the first year is proposed to be 50 students, that would be half of the current enrollment at the current school. What is the plan to ensure that you get to 50 students in this first year?
So this 50 students would assume would articulate into that middle school setting. So it's not, it's not taking them out of one and putting them in another, but it's them moving as the years go on into those middle school grades. Another thing is when we write our applications and we have our projected enrollments, we're looking at what we could possibly serve, what we want to serve, what we can have, what we have the capacity to serve. If our numbers come below that, and I know the US, if we would do anything differently, what we do differently is that we scale back on our staffing and on different areas and things that are related to student achievement, their curricular items, just not that we get, we only have to staff for the number of students that we have. But we always intend to have a capacity that in the event that we have more than, you know, what we actually came in with, we're able to serve that many students.
And hopefully Somerset has the name and the reputation to start bringing in more students as the name goes out there.
Yeah. And again, adding to what they were saying, part of the 50 kids are the fifth graders that are there now. And sixth grade is such a pivotal year of going into middle school that 50 kids, two classes, we expect to be able to fill.
How many fifth graders do you anticipate matriculating into that sixth grade? Like, how many fifth graders do you currently have and who intend to be part of that founding sixth grade class?
There's about 15 fifth graders, so, and there's a good amount that are siblings, so we're expecting, if not all of them, the majority of them to move on to the next class.
In addition to additional people from the community.
Thank you.
So during the ASBCS visit, the Somerset staff that was there was unable to speak to the Scopin sequence. Even when given the opportunity to speak to that, they were unable to do that. So what guidance can you give your new principal coming in about using that Scopin sequence to inform the curriculum in the school?
Again, pairing them up with the school, our South Miami school, with Somerset South Miami, we paired her up with the principal from that school to kind of share those best practices and the implementation of the overarching pacing guides, which
she's also K-8.
Which the overarching pacing guides, which it contained the Scopin sequence. It's a little surprising that they were able to speak to that. Again, I'm not sure exactly how that transition went down, but
after investigating earlier, they are doing it.
We have provided a lot of support in that area, and it should be something they should be able to speak to.
Okay. And how will you make sure that your principal next year is a half-time?
Same principal.
Oh, it's the same principal. Okay.
So it's half-time budgetarily.
Okay, so she will just take on the role of the K-8 principal.
Correct. Okay. Which is, that's in the same facility.
Okay, yeah, we knew that part. That was very clear in the application.
The principal we have pairing up with her right now has the same scenario, a K-8 facility.
Okay.
Two different campuses.
Okay.
All right. Well, two different charters.
In the same campus.
One campus.
So, I'm sorry, Susan.
Go ahead.
So, using the pairing her with the principal in South Miami, that's helpful. What other supports does this principal receive in terms of on-the-ground support, frequency, And who that person would be.
So our ESP goes out there frequently.
Can you be a little more specific?
Yeah, so we have Academica, we have multiple offices that are supporting Arizona. So we have a former Somerset principal, Bonnie May, who's one of the primary leading people that help with her support, but we also have...
Where does Bonnie live?
She lives in Florida, but she's here almost every other week right now. And other weeks we have another former principal that works for us, but out of our Nevada office, that comes when Florida's not here, Nevada's here. So using both offices, we are pretty much here all the time.
So if it's not SOMI, it's someone from Academic Med or Academic Nevada, or us.
We have a good rotation going on right now to just make sure everything lines up. And of course, we want our principals to be autonomous. So once we feel that she's completely ready with the Somerset way, then we'll start weaning off and letting her have more control.
What will your indicators be of, to your words, being completely ready with the Somerset way?
So student academic success and enrollment. Those are a lot of mine.
How do you benchmark that?
The academic success, we use the assessments that the students, the benchmark assessments embedded in the curriculum. We can see data.
State tests
are the I guess would be your summative assessments to see at the end of the day. But it's important for us to see the path along the way. We can't wait until June to determine whether or not these students are being successful. Yeah. We have I have access personally to all the IRA data for all of the summer set schools across the nation. And I periodically review it myself, and if I find something that needs assistance, I'll definitely reach out to our ESP who then coordinate support in the area that is needed. I'm able to identify in IREADY's women's programs that you're actually able to identify specific areas of the curriculum that can use some support. It's quite easy to find a matching support system in either our Nevada schools or our Miami schools that can come out and provide the support.
In addition, we require Ms. Carmichael to report her data at board meetings just to see where she's at and if she needs any help or any other additional support.
Besides IREADY data, what other data would she share with the board?
Any standards or benchmarks that they're doing weekly, especially with the SOMI school in Miami, when they align their lesson plans and do those benchmark assessments.
I mean, they vary from simple fluency, addition, subtraction fluency, depending on the grade level, the development of the child. What assessments you use to measure that progress really depends on where they are in the scope. Since we share the pacing guides and the scope and sequence, all of those assessments are embedded in those things. And whether they come from this program or another program, the bottom line is, are the children reading at an accurate and at a rate that is accurate and appropriate for their development and for their age level. We can measure those results across our network and determine whether or not there's additional support needed.
So the application indicates that the school is actively looking to find local representation on the board. Where are you in this process and what does your timeline of recruitment look like?
So we don't need a year out. We already have our principal, and she's already started to articulate and get those programs going. And we've had those conversations.
So the board, we have two candidates mm-hmm. that we are looking at. We said a couple of months was hopefully the timeline that we're looking at.
Can you tell us a little bit, just contextualize how you identify these two candidates?
These were recommended from, do you remember how they were recommended by Kathy Taylor was one?
We put out a search. There were some that came through the search.
You
said
you put out a search, what do you mean, like a marketing campaign?
We put that, we're looking for boards, board members, but...
you notified members of the community.
Yeah, we asked our community members and that we knew, and these were from recommendations.
We went to the government offices. We met with the mayor, correct? And we let them know that we were considering looking at a school that we were actively searching for someone.
who would be local and be willing to volunteer their time to be on a board and oversee schools and have some background in either education, finance, or some area of education.
That was going to be my next question. So the skills that they were looking for, correct. Education, educational background, what was the other?
Finance, governance.
And what's the problem?
I'm sorry.
And legal.
Yeah.
Okay. And you anticipate that they'll be far on board for when?
We have two candidates, correct, at this time. So we're in the process of scheduling an interview where we can all be present and kind of vet those candidates and ensure that they have what it takes to not only be a member, but have the time available to dedicate to this.
No, obviously, understanding that it's a volunteer board position, it's very important
we have to make
that
those conversations very clear
and make sure that they know what they're signing up for and that they understand and align with the Somerset mission and vision.
One thing we also did take note of is that we didn't see any articulation of board training or board assessment. Right? How will they know that they are effective at their job as board members? Can you speak to something that Academica might have in place so that a board could? Hey, we're doing a good job, or we really need to improve in this area. We need some professional development.
Yeah, so in Florida, there's mandatory board trainings that all our schools do, but we also obviously hold certain board training. We hold board trainings for any board members from Academica that we align. This is what a charter school board does. These are the requirements about, this is about the time commitment that we're gonna need from you. We also hold retreats throughout the year. We go to the National Charter School Conference each year. So we do trainings and we give updates throughout the year. But if a board member, for example, isn't fulfilling their requirements or they're not showing as much input and due diligence and report as we would like them, obviously we would talk to them, and we would also have their fellow board members. We would let the fellow board members, hey, coming from you guys, this may be a better conversation than it coming from us. But again, we understand that it's a volunteer position, and we try and just, again, we're also a family. So if there's something that we find out, hey, this may not actually be right for me, then we bring it up to the board. Obviously that person makes their decision.
I'm sorry, help me understand who the we is. That will be, we would talk to them and we would bring it to the board. I want to make sure I understand.
Well,
Academica. Because when I look at you, you're the Academica person.
Yes.
I wonder, so you as Academica, the vendor, would help the board?
Or the board staff. So we would provide them the information necessary to be able to make a decision. So if there's a board member that comes to us and say we cannot fulfill our duties, then it's our responsibility to bring it up to the rest of the board.
Their bylaws and governance. Mm-hmm.
We also have training not only in Florida, but our Texas board requires us to do yearly 6 hours.
What does Arizona require? Does Arizona require mandatory board training?
They do require board training.
They started a new orientation training for board members, and one board member does have to go to the ESC training before the school begins. But again, we, as part of our compliance, we make sure that all the boards are always listed with their training.
Thank you.
So being that this is a K-6 school, let's talk about curriculum.
What? 6-8.
Sorry, I saw that right there. 6-8. Let's talk about the curriculum you are going to use and the resources that you have identified for that school.
So curriculum, again, it's we're currently using, or we've identified what we're currently using, but that doesn't mean that that's what we're going to stick with, because we really want to make sure that we understand where the kids are, where their focus is, and what kind of appropriate curriculum needs to be identified for them.
The Arizona State Standards are what's going to govern what materials and curriculum we decide to go with to ensure that they have the capacity to ensure that these kids can master the standards. We are going to use innovative technology, things like that. We think outside of the box in charter school. We don't always do things the way traditional public schools do, and that's why we've been so successful. It's our ability to kind of adjust and see what is necessary and needed in order to fulfill our end game, which is mastery of the standards. Being that it's in middle school, it's going to be relying on, you know, a very different set of information. And in an ever-changing educational society and world, we really have to be at the very forefront of everything that comes out new to make sure that whatever new materials, new curriculum, new ideas, we can implement them with fidelity and good success.
And since it was college prep, we want to make sure that there's that college mindset is there already.
You talked about innovative technology. Explain that to me.
There are so many things for this school. So first, of course, there's the hardware. You know, there's new gadgets and things coming up every day. We're making sure our school has the resources that it needs to access this type of technology, this type of information. At the same time, there's also programs coming out. IREADY is a technological program that has a, you know, it's a kind of what they call a smart system where it identifies what a child needs based on the results of their current assessments. Technology is moving quickly. We have to be at the forefront. What is the middle school?
Because we're going towards a collegiate, we want to go a little bit more challenging environment. So giving them those opportunities to take advanced or high school courses during their middle school year so that they have the opportunity in high school to maybe do dual enrollment if that's a possibility here in Arizona. So technology is a big piece. You can't always be out there and especially here in Arizona where technology is growing big and Microsoft is opening in front of the school right there in Goodyear. So we really want to tap into them and see how they can help us move that technology piece for us.
Susan, if I may, the one, I think, specific program we heard from middle school mentioned was iReady. What, if any, other specific curricular, either programs or resources, would you consider for the middle school?
Achieve 3000 is really good also. I really love that program. It tailors to where the kids are and then helps them grow that way. Some of the stuff I've used at my old school is a lot of
gizmos,
BrainPop, what are the other ones? That's more science, Khan Academy.
IXL, don't put it back down. There's tons of them out there. I mean, they're always changing, they're always getting better. It's a competitive market, so as long as your eyes and ears are open, you'll see that there's a lot of new,
So, I hear you say you want to offer these kids advanced choices. I'm a high school math teacher, so I understand that those things are very methodical. You need a textbook. I know the textbook's not the curriculum, and there is not a textbook made that meets every standard in every state. So you do have to supplement. But I firmly believe that something like that subject needs a guide, and it needs a guide that can be in the kids' hands to work with when they take it home. What do you use for that?
Currently we use it from the College Board. What's the name of that program right now? It slipped my mind. It's from the College Board. I know how to use it there, especially for algebra. Pre-algebra, algebra, and geometry, where that's a very challenging curriculum. If the kids are not ready for that, then we definitely scale down and make sure that they're at their appropriate level and get those basics. You know, because especially in math, you need those basics and that mental math in order to correctly do the steps in the algebra and algebra 2 and geometry courses. Once that name comes to me, I'll
that's
shoot it out there.
Okay.
That sounds good.
If you could please explain with research why you believe this model that you indicate works well in Florida will work within this population for Skyway Middle.
I'm sorry, repeat the first part of your
absolutely.
Question.
So if you could please explain with research why you believe this model that you indicate works well in Florida will work within the target population for Skyway Middle?
I guess the answer to that is that it has worked in several different states and different areas with different populations. We serve a wide, Florida is very diverse in and of itself.
We're in 17 counties.
Even within Florida, it's amazing. You know, Miami is very different from Tallahassee and from middle, you know, Orlando area. And we're able to service all of these different areas and all of these different schools with a high rate of success. So, I mean, coming to Arizona or coming to Texas, or we even have schools, and this is a private school overseas in American school, in their guidance in Spain. And again, some of the same philosophies and ideas that we have as the core part of our Somerset family can be used across the nation and clearly across the world. So it's been successful in the past, and there's no reason to expect that it wouldn't be successful here in Arizona.
What do you see as the major differences between the communities you serve in Florida and the community you're both currently serving at Skyway and proposing to serve at Skyway Middle School? And how will you account for those differences in ensuring that the school's successful?
Repeat the first part of the question.
Yeah, so what do you see as the primary differences between the communities that you serve in Florida or in other states and the community that you are proposing to serve with Skyway Middle School?
So your question is about the differences. When you're saying differences, are you referring to their cultural differences, financial differences?
I'm referring to, given that we are in two different states, right? So they could be macro differences. The standards, for instance, are different in Arizona and in Florida. So what do you see as any adjustments you would have to make to the program to be successful in this particular context?
I mean,
the adjustments would be directly related to any differences in the standards of the state of Arizona. From viewing the standards across the nation, you'll see that the vast majority of them fall into relatively the same areas, and differences are relatively small, and not something that we would come in with a whole new program to address. All of the children in the United States have the capacity to learn regardless of their background, their culture, their color, their socioeconomic, and that's our number one goal, is to make those differences irrelevant in the academic success of a child. One of the biggest, you know, things about charter schools is that it doesn't matter what, you know, the financial position of a parent, to have that opportunity to give them a choice to have a better education for their child is really at the core and the crux of what we do. The Somerset Way is to find the best way to educate any child, regardless of where they come from, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the background that they have, is to have an understanding as an educator of where that child comes from and adjust your instructions.
How do they learn? How do they
to process? Make sure it meets the needs of that individual child. Having an understanding that every child is different. They come from a million different backgrounds, and it's our job as educators is to find out what works best and teach them what they don't.
And so there's a Harvard study, what was the study?
Stanford study, the Credo.
The Credo's report.
So the Credo report was done highlighting, you could explain it but better probably, but it was highlighting the achievement gap and how different types of systems affect the achievement gap. And what the study essentially showed are academic service schools in our hybrid model, actually there is no achievement gap. We've leveled off.
In terms of socioeconomic background. So regardless of the child's background, if you look at studies in general, research in general, tell you that a child's socioeconomic background is the most accurate as an indicator of their ultimate success in academics in schools. However, when they did the study feeder report, they noticed that schools that were supported by academic schools do not have that same incline. In other words, their background does not affect their ability to achieve.
So they're going off to college. They're going off.
Could that be that the majority of your students, I think if I recall, 90-some% of them come from the same background. So
of Somerset in general?
For all the academic schools. And I don't, you know, we don't have to belabor it, but just looking at the data, a lot of your schools are 98% free and reduced lunch. 98% or 94%, I don't know. Look it up and go through it.
Some are.
Right, it's a pretty grand.
The average is, I don't know.
With the current growth of Somerset, I would say we pretty much mirror the United States.
Somerset FRL is about 61%.
Right, if anything, we have more FRL than average, but which would actually put us at a disadvantage or an advantage if you look at the way the studies are going.
Yeah, but when you're measuring the gap, it puts you at an advantage because you really don't have that gap.
Well, we have a lot of schools that are in affluent areas as well. So maybe, are you looking at Somerset in general?
I'm looking at all the academic schools.
Oh, okay. Because maybe,
yeah, well.
Which are all the Somerset schools.
No.
No, because there's
other, right, Somerset.
There's other networks also.
Yeah, the other networks.
Yes, that's correct. Right.
Okay. Yeah, Doral's in there, Matters in there, Pinecrest in there.
Right. I see him.
Doral's in there.
I see Doral.
And Pinecrest is more than affiliate.
They're definitely your lowest FRL.
Who is?
Doral.
Well, I think you answered this question. The process you have in place to identify the school principal, she's already there.
Correct.
Okay.
It was supposed to be a K-8 to begin with, like I said earlier. We're just wanting to push it forward.
Oh,
the timing.
Okay. So,
yes. So to that point, our understanding is that the current charter allows for the growth up to 8th grade. Is that correct?
It's after 3 years. Our 3 year plan was through K-5, and because the 6, 7, 8 is past our 3 year plan, we cannot expand until 6th grade until year 4.
Plus, this is under that current charter. You're able to expand to 6th grade under year 4, but given that you currently serve K-5, you're looking to expand to sixth grade next year under this new charter.
This is why we need to be a little flexible with our student incoming students.
Sure, thank you.
So, what about the start time?
Start date.
For the start date for this particular application?
It would start August 2020.
Okay.
There's no planning time for it.
Okay.
Like the 1 year out.
It's not needed, right?
It's not needed.
Okay.
In addition to academic, what other ESPs did you consider going with for this Skyway?
There's CareSchool USA, there's several other ones, but Academica seems to be the only one that has the capacity to meet the needs of the Somerset organization. It is one of the largest charter school network organizations in the US, and it really needs somebody who is tried and true and who has demonstrated their capacity and their service ability. Although others were considered, it's very hard to they know at any moment. Contract can be taken away, and if something better comes along, we'll always do what's in the best interest of the students that we serve. That is who we.
Yeah, thank goodness we've never been fired by any of our clients so far.
Yes.
Another thing that makes Academica stand out is we've been open since 1999, and we've never raised our prices to our school since 1999. We always look at what's in the best interest of the schools, what's in the best interest of the school budget.
Remind me of your fee structure one more time.
It's a per student fee structure.
Got it.
And we haven't raised that fee per student since we opened.
Yeah,
over 20 years ago.
Talk to me a little bit about the relationship between Academica and Somerset. What's that internal relationship? Is there a connection between the two organizations of any kind? Whether it's fiduciary in terms of who sits on your board in relation to the Somerset School?
No, there's no Academica employee that sits on any of the school boards that we provide support and services for.
Any commonality in terms of founders or upper level management? Any connections there?
Other than working connections or like
whatever. Any connection.
The founder of the Academica
was the founder of Somerset.
I see. Okay. The reason why I asked that question is just a quick glance at all of the. You gave me a list. You gave us a chart of all of the schools you are working with. Looking at only the D-rated schools, 6 of the D-rated schools that you provided to me, and we're not judging because we know this is hard work, but 3 of them are middle schools. And so that makes us think, is Academica perhaps the best choice for a middle school, given that, they're struggling? And then when you look at the F-rated schools, we have some K-8s there. So I disaggregated those out, and I only honed in on the 6-8s. And I'll just give them to you if you want them. Some sort of Broward County, sports leadership,
So for Somerset, report card.
We don't have to speak to bulk to them in specific, but I'm just thinking to myself, if I've had 16 ratings and 3 of them are middle schools, I would wonder why.
Since last year, the list of schools that were on the D or F list it was the board's responsibility to make sure that we were holding those schools accountable for their data. So they had to report their data every single board meeting. That resulted in a 50% decrease on that list.
It was whose responsibility to report the data? I missed that.
The
principal's responsibility to report the data to
an open meeting
to a Somerset board,
right?
And the board was
correct. And then the board would direct Academica or whatever service provider we have to provide support needed to ensure that they were getting what they needed. So for
and that list shrunk from by 50%.
And to describe it better, but middle school is a tough transition, especially when you're getting students that haven't been part of your system before.
That's right.
So there is a learning curve that these students go through.
Thank you for that. That's an honest response.
Yeah,
right?
I appreciate that.
Middle school is tough.
It is tough.
And so I wanted to hear you say that, right?
Yeah.
And so thank you.
And we recognize that, and we work towards obviously improving the sixth grade, which is why we're opening more elementaries to start off with so that they grow in our culture. And then by the time they hit middle school, we shouldn't be in that position. But again, we're here to serve all students. So when we have a middle school, we understand it's going to be tough, but you know, we'll put the resources in what needs
and
to be done to try and help.
You've been around a long time, so you know specifically the needs of middle school kids.
Yes.
And how to meet them where they are as a mm-hmm. as a universe of child.
Yes.
Right? I'm done. Thank you. Okay.
So there we answered that.
Yeah.
Where did that one? Okay, so let's talk about staff. What is your plan to recruit those extremely hard to fill positions of qualified sped, math, and science teachers for middle school? And with only 50 kids the first year, how are you going to pull that off? To have qualified teachers with only 50 kids?
Yeah, that is a colossal challenge for classrooms at this time. It is so hard to find high quality staff members, especially in the middle school. I mean, I speak to what you were speaking about before. In the state of Florida, it is by far the lowest performing group of students in any other category, is the middle school. I'm pretty sure it's everywhere, but definitely in Florida, it's one of our biggest areas of difficulty. More than anything, it's finding people that can be diverse, people that can have, you know, educators that are willing to take to jump that extra mile to learn something new, to figure out how to relate to a middle school student who is not always the easiest thing in the world. I know I have two middle school age children myself, my own personal children, so from personal experience I can tell you they are a whole other breed of human and it takes a very special person. And it takes a lot of mentorship from the current successful middle schools that we have. And a lot of that modeling of what works in areas that are similar to Arizona and have those models available, and through our ESP we can coordinate travel, we can coordinate support where, you know, we have shared best practices, ideas, things like that, to support the very lovely middle school teacher, which we hold near and dear to our heart because it is a difficult job. And it's getting more and more difficult to find high quality people who are willing to take on that challenge of educating that age group. Here, we're going to go full force with the recruitment, you know, providing support as needed, providing models of successful middle schools that we do have plenty of.
We reached out to Arizona State University. It's one of our partners, Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
One of our partners in our schools to help so with
to go
fair.
More specifics, we do go to teacher fairs, we post mm-hmm. online, we have our institute that we with Doral, so there are different specifics that we do to help recruit students or teachers. And you know, sometimes it is finding a first year teacher that is very
motivated,
wanting to learn, get passionate, and getting in there. But you know, having to work with them.
And are you aware that 25% of Arizona students are not qualified. Arizona teachers are not qualified. They're in the classroom right now. Arizona has one of the highest teacher shortage rates in the country.
Yes.
It is a national problem.
It is, well, it's really, really very high.
Yes.
Unqualified educators. So working with Grand Canyon is great, but you've got 50 other schools that are going to be going after those same three kids. Where are you going to look outside of this state? How will you recruit them here?
We go to national teacher fairs with Academica, obviously, and having multiple states that we work with. We go to multiple states for teacher fairs. And then some teachers seeing the vast network that they're a part of is a high, successfully recruitment tool.
One of the things I used to do in my school is I would get them from international. We would go to Spain and bring them over on an HB1 visa. Those that have those specific, you know, math and science degrees, they can teach, you know, here in the States under that visa. So we've gone that route also.
As an entity, Somerset has also partnered with Doral College, which provides...
That's currently...
Right, we're looking for new and better ways to find high-quality mm-hmm. teachers, and this is one of them. We partnered with a college where we can
start certifying teachers, or, you know, once a program gets approved, we can start certifying.
We sponsor, let's say, a teacher assistant to work in that works in one of our schools as a college student at the Doral College. We pay for their college, and then when they graduate, the way that they pay back their loan, let's say, is by working at our schools. And that way, a teacher can have the opportunity to go to college for essentially free, but would, you know, come back to our schools and then be...
Is that what you're going to do here in Arizona?
Well, that's what we're starting right now. It's one of our ideas, one of the innovative ideas that we use in Florida, because we have also a teacher shortage over there. We're going to start it with our elementary bachelor's program, where you...
At what university?
The Doral College.
Is that here?
No, it's
in Florida.
Right,
so I'm trying to
give
some...
Okay, so it's an online
program.
It's an online program.
Oh, yes, an online college.
You see what I mean? I didn't understand.
Yeah. Right, so Somerset, as an entity, will utilize that to make that resource.
So that's one way to incentivize. What other ways are you looking into to incentivize getting these out-of-state candidates to decide to choose the wonderful state of Arizona? How do you sweeten that pot?
Because it's a very low-paying school. Schools are. I mean, we have done so much better in the last two. Well, easier said than done.
Yes, you're awesome. And in Florida, too, it's going to have to be weird to have to start paying teachers more. Amazing jobs that they do. And it's one of the things that I advocate for on a daily mm-hmm. basis, and that as a principal even of a school. And I advocate for the raises for my teachers and advocate for them constantly because I understand how difficult it is.
Is that the plan for here?
Absolutely. We follow that same methodology, that same
the budget to reflect anything higher.
Right.
So. Yeah, what is the starting salary that you're proposing for this school?
What was the end off my head? That's not something I would.
I think it'll be in.
Let me check.
This, but we usually align
it with.
It's
very competitive.
It's competitive.
Because competition is key,
of course.
Oh,
part of what you were saying of how we make it different is. Right now, we're not under the state retirement for teachers, which some teachers find as a drawback, but, you know, they have more upfront money to spend, and we do the 401k, so they're able to, you know, put as much as they want in the 401k, and they have more upfront money.
Are you measuring
every match?
Retirement system? Is that an option?
It's an option.
We're not. At the moment, just because if you're under the retirement system here, you cannot, once you're part of it, you can't go out of it. So, you know, we feel, especially like you guys are saying, it's hard for teachers to make money now with more money upfront and not having to obligate, I think it's about 20-something% into the retirement system. They have more upfront money and they could have a better work. Lifestyle balance.
It's a split between what the school pays and what the teacher pays. So
right.
It's about 11% for each.
Right.
And
so it's 20. It's still high.
And these are conversations that we have at every board meeting because this is the landscape that we're getting.
One thing that Somerset does is match 4% to whatever they're putting in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
attract everyone, but you know, for some people it's a selling point.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if it's. $39,500 for a future.
38. That's close.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And growing about 3% per year.
And again, that's the budget plan.
That's budget plan, right?
But yeah, if funding is increased, then of course, you know, we can adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Well, next year is the last year we have a guarantee on that, so that will be good. Okay, so. I think that they answered my question.
Yep.
Staff, do you have anything else, Peter?
One of the things I think you mentioned regarding Academica's responsibilities was Academica goes to the teachers' fairs and things of that nature. Is Academica primarily responsible for the recruitment of staff?
We definitely aid in them. When we go to these teacher fairs, we usually bring teachers that are part of Somerset Schools or whichever networks are looking for those areas. We'll bring some teachers or principals with us. So I wouldn't say we're the sole person responsible, but we're definitely a part of the puzzle in helping recruit.
So you listed on page 14, you said coordinate human resources and assist with recruitment.
Yes.
So if you assist, then who's primarily taking the lead in your recruitment efforts?
We have a full HR department that are
right.
Leading and they sign up for those, but they coordinate with the different schools and with the different networks.
The principals, basically.
Mm-hmm. Correct, mm-hmm. To bring them on the different recruitment fairs, but of course, we schedule them all out.
And it's on a need basis, like for
right.
if your need teachers are problem, you don't get the support.
And we also have a great group of principals where all our principals throughout the whole Academica network throughout states are on a principal chat. So if a school for whatever, if they need a principal or they need furniture, they need something, they'll reach out onto that and they'll get, or if there's an issue going on in their school, they reach out to that app, to the chat, and they'll say, hey, I'm looking for a teacher that has this skill set. If a resume pops by and you don't need them, can you please refer them to us? So.
And I'd be happy to.
And or if you have an extra teacher, you have somebody who's a great teacher and I don't want to enroll it for this person this year who's looking somebody in this area, it's actually great, it's worked out to be a great tool.
Yeah, somebody, I think recently Erica from Port St. Lucie said that the PE teacher was moving down to South Florida, there was a school available, you know.
And I think
everybody was like, I'll take it. By the way, the curriculum, the college board curriculum is
springboard.
Okay.
I was fine.
I couldn't remember for the life of me.
Can you clarify for me the 403B?
Sorry, yes, it's a 403B, not a 401K.
Yeah, it's 403B, right, because your school, and that's what it has to be.
Yes.
But what percent are you putting in?
We match up to 4%.
Up to 4%.
You match up to 4. Your narrative says 6. That I remember that, so that's what I've been looking for. I'm a budget narrative. Employee benefits. They will utilize the 403B that includes anticipated employee contribution.
Four.
Portion
maybe
6%.
A typo.
Should be 4%.
It is 4%. We've never had that conversation.
That sounds like a typo.
Yeah.
No, I found it. It says it, but I think it's.
A typo.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 4%. Is that for, would that be the same for the other school as well?
I don't know.
We didn't ask that question.
Mm-hmm. But
we didn't ask
it would be 4% for the other school as well.
Okay.
One of the things, from a governance perspective, in response to several of the questions, the response has been, we have conversations about this at the board level, we're looking at incoming data, things of that nature. How often does your board meet to discuss each individual school?
That's a tricky question. So we have both strategic planning meetings and we have regularly scheduled board meetings. In Florida, we have to have one in every county that we have a school, that we have a school. twice a year. So it's, off the top of my head, I can't give you the exact
number. I think Somerset right now without strategic planning is meeting about 14 to 17 times a year without strategic planning. For just the floor, no, not excluding in Texas. Texas has their own meetings. I don't know how often, but Arizona right now, we're the board's meeting about once a month.
Once a month.
So
and we specifically discussed that.
So while you do that, can I poke in?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking a lot about assessment, right? But the school is more than an assessment. There are some, you know, some other measures that we can measure whether or not we're doing what we're doing effectively. And so, I recall that in your application, there wasn't much talk about climate, culture, really the push for attendance. The SEL aspects, right, the social-emotional learning piece, one of the things that this school is a focus on is leadership. We know that this age population, that's a big issue for this group, right? Talk a little bit about the non-academic measures that you're going to say, well, we're really doing a good job there, because the application really gets just stamped into that.
So one of the things that the school is currently using is the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Kids, mm-hmm. and that will transition over to middle school as well. It's a great program for teaching skills, teamwork, you know, being proactive and think win-win and putting first things first. And those are the types of, you know, non-academic skills that we're trying to instill in the kids as well.
A lot of our model schools in Florida use the Leader in Me program, which is encompasses the 7 Habits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very strong SEL program that promotes leadership within every child. And
we just didn't see it here, so yeah. That's
right. Those programs' names, they can change, but the idea is the same, is to find something that will promote inner leadership within a child, that will promote good character, school culture. I mean, our Somerset culture is built around not just academics, but being an overall good person and having good moral values, and that's a huge part of our
right. And so the infrastructure that will be put in place to make that happen, right? Because that just doesn't happen because we say it's going to happen, right? Specific things, policies and practices, systems and structures are put in place to get kids to that point, right? To get the adults to that point and then get the kids to that point. And so one of the things that we were wondering is, like, what is all of that infrastructure look like? Who's taking the lead on that? Who's in charge of making sure that we get a good, strong culture that reflects the Somerset way?
The instructional leader, the principal, is the head of that movement. They are the one who sets the tone and the culture for that building. We can provide them with a plethora of resources to help support their movement towards a school culture. But at the end of the day, it is that school leader with that autonomy that they have to develop a strong school culture. With the autonomy, it comes with a lot of responsibility. So our expectation is that when we go into buildings, that we feel that Somerset culture throughout.
And is that principal? Is a new principal given sufficient training up front?
Again, the partnerships with our schools that are currently using programs like Leader in Me, they currently have very strong school culture embedded into its everyday, are the models that they use. They're able to come out to our schools. We have visitations, and we have, and that's really the best way to learn, is going out and seeing what works and then being able to take those ideas back to your
school. We bring the principal to the Nevada schools, the Florida schools, so they spend days sort of learning what that Somerset way looks like, feels like. If they're a brand new principal to Somerset or to our network, you want to talk about throughout leadership, that they'll be part of it?
The throughout
leadership.
In addition to Doral College, it has the same name just because of its geographic location, but there's also a partner with the Doral Leadership Institute, which is a program that is designed to develop and identify future leaders for high quality charter schools. It was comprised of a couple of us school leaders who saw a need to kind of widen our pool of applicants for future leaders that understand how charter schools work, understand the importance of building culture and leadership capacity within their schools. And we came together and created some modules that really help support anyone who's interested in becoming a future leader in the school.
Great.
And Somerset has partnered with that organization, and we have regularly scheduled visits, models. We have internship opportunities where potential leaders can sit and look at different school models and look at, you know, maybe sitting for maybe a high school that's in an affluent area and probably get an idea of how a school culture is run in that area, and then also visit maybe a less affluent area, elementary school or something, so they can kind of get a broad view of what's out there and how the influence of the leader of the school can really develop a strong culture.
Is the current principal, who's going to be the principal of this school, a participant of that program?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Thank you. Good. All right. So, you have 5 minutes to make your closing statement. Board staff will cue you when you have 1 minute remaining, and we'll let you know when the 5 minutes is complete.
Thank you. So thank you once again for having us here. We really appreciate the time and appreciate your input after this meeting is done. We want to just reiterate how important, you know, not displacing these next five, the fifth graders that we currently have, and giving them a home where they are, where they will continue their education with Somerset. We want to make sure that they are in a very challenging environment, that they are being looked at as a person and not just a number, an ID, and some data that we have to put together. You know, we look at the whole child and make sure that their, you know, their mindset matches their academics and make them grow as a person. And that's basically what our philosophy is.
I just want to say thank you to all of you for taking time out of your very busy days and for asking us the challenging questions that need to be asked in order to ensure that the future of our students, you know, is successful. I know some of them are difficult questions, but at the end of the day, you know what you need to do for kids. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I just wanted to also let you know that we did find in the budget an area more for curriculum. It's not identified as we would like it to be identified, so we've asked our ESP to go ahead and change that and make it more clear.
So will that be put in with
it, and so if you look at, I think it's page 10 of the narrative of the assumptions, it's under between 9 and 10, the part where it talks about FF and e-lease, there's a line item that says instructional items may also be purchased using the funds from these leases. So yes, it's a very small line. And again, they've talked to us and we've talked to our accounting team to make that more clear and obviously put the funds to a clear line item for future reference.
But that's not for what I consider curriculum, books. Workbooks. That's not even curriculum. So permanent books. These are computers.
Right. Nowadays, there's many schools go to just tablet mode. In other words, there's no more. There's no such thing anymore.
They're all now.
There are actually subscriptions to the curriculum, and that's what gives you the. So it's a little kind of a gray area because instead of what we used to purchase a textbook for per child, is you're purchasing a license to utilize information in that curriculum for per child, and those fall under what's called licensures because you're licensing it for.
We understand.
But it's still curriculum.
It's still curriculum.
Correct.
It's just under the category of license.
It shouldn't be, and that's what we've told them to go ahead and place.
But it is a license, in essence. So this can we go back and forth as to where it falls under.
Mm-hmm. But,
because financially, it is a reoccurring license that you're getting, not a tangible textbook. If that makes any sense.
It does.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it does. You'll have to reword that.
Because
this looks like equipment.
And that's why I said it sounds like a final copy machine. No, it's not a copy machine. It's a licensure for curriculum.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just wanted to share with
you
that that was already identified.
Okay. Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next steps. First of all, thank you. To conclude the in-person interview, I will describe what will be happening next. The technical review panel will evaluate the scores from the review of your written application package, as well as the findings of the interview panel. This will include whether your written application package met the scoring criteria specified in the application and whether the interview panel finds sufficient capacity to operate a charter school. Next, a recommendation report will be submitted to board staff and will be presented to the board at the December 9th, 2019 meeting. This will be a full-day meeting that will begin at 9 a.m. We anticipate that this will be a long meeting, so please plan for the possibility of your application being considered on December 10th, 2019, if the meeting runs long. So if you have any questions about next steps, please contact Rachel Hanna, the board's assistant director of charter support and accountability. And I believe you know how to get in touch with her.
Yes, she gave us her card.
Okay, good card. Once again, the Arizona State Board for Charter Schools, the technical review panel, and board staff would like to thank you for coming in today and for your interest in providing quality educational choice to the children of Arizona State Charters.
Thank you so much.
You're